In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Brothers and sisters, this weekend we have something of a special convergence that takes place. We celebrate two things, one a feast of heaven, and the other a celebration on earth. The feast of heaven is the celebration of the saints of North America. We celebrate all those men, women, and children who have shone forth in godliness in this land. On earth, we celebrate the 4th of July weekend. Tomorrow is Independence Day. And in the church, which is the connection place between heaven and earth, we see these two celebrations kind of interwoven, interconnected. Because the independence that was celebrated and is continued to be celebrated was one of freedom. And freedom is something which is a great gift of God, a great gift that we cherish. And of course, that freedom finds its fullness in a chosen life with God. The use of that freedom properly, to live life as it was meant to be lived, to have life more abundant. This is the proper use of our freedom. And this we see in the lives of the saints, who use their freedom well, who use their freedom to unite themselves to God and to share in his life. When we think about this convergence between these two celebrations, we have to think a little bit about the history of this nation. This nation was founded by people who were in search of that freedom to worship God. They wanted to come to this new land so that they would not have any religious tyranny over them, no oppression. They would be free here to worship God as they knew how, as they knew to be best. That was in accordance with their own free will and not bound by any compulsion or tyranny. And when they came to this nation, they had their Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. They had their constitution. And they had a First Amendment to that constitution. You don't know what the First Amendment was? What does it have to deal with? Thomas Jefferson described it as having to deal with church and state. I'll read to you that First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. This is the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And it speaks about Congress's role, or actually lack thereof, in the religious life of the people. Now, Congress is an organ of the federal government. But this First Amendment actually says nothing about the states. Were the states permitted to have any role in religious life? Some of you who know your history are shaking your head. Yes. Yes, they did. In fact, in many of their constitutions and charters, they reference the Holy Trinity. They reference the Lord Jesus Christ. This may come as a surprise to some of us. But states actually had religions. States had religions. For those of you who are from the state of Maryland, I read to you from the charter. This is Article 35. It says that, among other things, that no other test or qualification ought to be required on admission to any office or trust or profit then an oath of support and fidelity to this state, and a declaration of belief in the Christian religion. Interesting. I know some of you are from Delaware, though. Let's look at Delaware's charter. All persons who also profess to believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, shall be capable, notwithstanding their own persuasions and practices, in point of conscience and religion, to serve this government in any capacity, both legislatively and executively. In other words, to serve in the state of Delaware, you have to profess belief in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Very interesting. Now, of the 13 American colonies, they all had some form of state-supported religion. And we might say, well, this was a passing time in our land. It didn't really last too long. I averaged them out. Of the 13 colonies, they had some form of state-supported religion for an average of 189 years. How many years from 1776 to the present year?
240.
240, right? So 189 years is a pretty long time since the establishment of the colonies, which of course predates the independence. But a long time in the history of the people of this land. They had state-supported religion. Why? Because they knew its importance. They knew how important faith and morality and the Judeo-Christian tradition were to their life in this nation. Now, of course, these colonies, these states, no longer have some form of religious support in their constitutions and charters. We've moved away from that. And I'm not going to make the argument that that is a negative thing. Because if we think about true religious freedom, it cannot have any compulsion from the federal government or from state governments. This was actually a positive move in one way. Think about if the state of Maryland had a massive immigration of Muslims, so much so that they could codify in the charter or the constitution Sharia law. What if we were bound by that at the state level? It'd be very problematic. And it's a good thing that we're left free to have our own faith and our own practice. And that neither at the federal nor at the state level do they impose anything upon us. This was a step in the right direction in this regard. But we have to see the other aspect to this change in our society, this change in our history. And that aspect is a move of independence from God. We celebrate independence from Great Britain and this freedom that we've been granted in this nation. But we cannot ever celebrate an independence from God and freedom from His ways, His truth, and His morals. There are some in this nation who are waging something of a war against our Judeo-Christian heritage, against God. They're waging a war for independence from Him. And some consider them to be patriots, that they're the best form of Americans. They have a vision of a secular America that has nothing to do with God. But we have to remember, as Orthodox Christians, we are loyalists, not to Great Britain, but we're loyalists to God. We're part of His kingdom, and we want no independence from Him. Just the opposite, we depend upon Him. In God we trust. I'll share with you a quote from one of our presidents, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He says, "Freedom of speech is of no use to a man who has nothing to say. And freedom of worship is of no use to a man who has lost his God." Freedom of worship is of no use to a man who has lost his God. There is this war against faith and against morality and against God in this nation. And even if freedom of religion and freedom of worship is retained on the books, what does it matter if people have lost their faith in God? What does it matter if we can practice any belief or any ideology or any faith if we've lost that belief, ideology, and faith? And here we're segueing into something that is perhaps even a greater challenge to us than this war that's taking place at the civil level. This is at the spiritual level, and I want to share with you a quote from St. Paisius on freedom which is lost through worldliness. He says, "People today have made their lives difficult because they're not satisfied with few things, but are constantly chasing after more and more material goods. But those who would like to live a genuine spiritual life must first of all be satisfied with few things. when their life is simplified without too many concerns. Not only would they be liberated from the worldly spirit, but they will also have plenty of time available for spiritual things. Otherwise, they will tire themselves out by trying to follow the fashion of the times, and they will lose serenity and will only grow the great anxiety. St. Paisius is talking to us about a second challenge. The first is secularism, the forceful moving God out of our society. The second is materialism. And this is something that happens not by compulsion, but by our misuse of our free will, our embracing of another God, and that God is the world. Exchanging love of the Creator for the created. And this is actually more pernicious and perhaps even more prevalent in our society. How many times have we heard it said, I don't have time to read the scriptures. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to come to the church for feast days. I just have too much going on in my life to put God first, to seek Him. There's just so much that I'm tied up with right now. And perhaps maybe that expression, that I'm tied up with right now, is so illustrative. Tied up, bound, shackled. St. Paul, he says to the Christians, he says, you know, all things are lawful for me. God has given me a free will. I can do anything that I want, but not everything is expedient for me. Not everything is for my good. Some things will enslave us. And what does he say that enslaves but sin? A life of immorality, a life of faithlessness, a life of separation and independence from God. This enslaves us. Brothers and sisters, we have to be aware that we can lose our freedom by choice. Now, as we celebrate the Feast of the American Saints, and actually just yesterday we celebrated a great feast of St. John of Shanghai and San Francisco, one of the American saints. We have his icon here. We had an akathist last night before the Vesper service, and we were anointed with holy oil from his reliquary in San Francisco. For those of you who don't know, St. John is one of the incorrupt saints in our land. All over the world, there are Orthodox saints whose bodies, though they may have died centuries ago, remain incorrupt. They still have their skin, they still have their hair, but they don't decompose. And it's not because they're embalmed or they're treated in some special way. It's because the grace of God remains with them. And this serves as a proof of God's power over death. It serves as a kind of foretelling of the general resurrection. St. John is incorrupt in the city of San Francisco, and you all can visit his relics. You can see them with your own eyes. St. John talks to us about so many things, but the primary thing that he teaches us, and I'm going to share a quote with you from him, is about the proper use of our freedom to pursue and strive for union with God and holiness. This is the very reason we were given existence. This is the very reason we were called into being and given a free will, so that with that free will we might choose to know our Creator and to dwell in union with Him and to have life more abundantly through communion with God, through holiness and sanctification. St. John says, for a man's complete sanctification, holiness, union with God, the body of the servant of the Lord must be united with the body of Christ. And this is accomplished in the mystery of Holy Communion. The true body and the true blood of Christ, which we receive, makes us part of the greater body of Christ, the Church. Of course, for union with Christ, the mere conjoining of our body with the body of Christ does not suffice. The consumption of the body of Christ becomes beneficial when in spirit we strive towards him and unite ourselves with him. And he gives a word of caution. He says, receiving the body of Christ while turning away from him in spirit is like the contact with Christ which they had who struck him and mocked him and crucified him. Their contact with him served not for their salvation and healing, but for their condemnation. But he says, encouraging us, those who partake with piety, faithfulness, love, and readiness to serve him, closely unite themselves with him and become instruments of his divine will. This is where we'll end. Those who unite themselves to him become instruments of his divine will. And what does that mean, to be an instrument of God's divine will? That means to take our free will and to offer it up to God and let him fill that free will with his will. We unite our will to his will. And what is his will? The scriptures say very clearly, that all might be saved. This is the will of God. Our salvation, our union with him, and our sharing of this union with the world to fulfill that great commission, what he told us to do, to go into all nations, including the United States of America, and to baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe everything that he's commanded us. Everything that he's commanded us. Because he is with us even unto the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this Independence Day, as we celebrate the saints of North America, let us remember that the church is this place of union with God. And this church is not just for us, but it is for the whole world. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.